or not necessarily those of the staff, management, or ownership of WGCH Radio. Welcome to Center Stage with international opera star Pamela Kuhn. And now, here is your host, Pamela Kuhn.
Good morning, everyone, and the curtain is up on Center Stage, the show about the arts and the artists behind their work. Happy New Year, everyone, and welcome to 2018. I have an affinity for the number 8, so I can tell you I am happy to turn over to 2018. It has a good feeling to me already, and I'm going to predict, on a positive note, that as long as we hang on tight, we are going to find some immense personal treasures. And perhaps along the way, we will find the same level of personal strength. The ability to move mountains comes from within first, and there is nowhere better to view that kind of strength than on the artist's canvas. There we see the journey of the warrior artist from inspiration to creation. And at this moment in time, at the Flynn Gallery at the Greenwich Library, you have the opportunity to behold an art show that has the grace and beauty of women as the creators, tinged with the strength of lionesses for inspiration. On December 14th at the Flynn, Venus Fly opened to showcase the work of three women artists in their personal journeys of recognition. Through large-scale paintings, mixed-media wood carvings, and ceramics, Becca Lowry, Lauren Mabry, and Elise Rosner are searching for expression of the warrior within in this fresh and colorful show. So, folks, let's unleash Venus this morning and watch her fly. So today I have the curator of this bold show, Tracy McKenna, here to speak with me about Venus Fly at the Flynn Gallery at the Greenwich Library. Good morning, Tracy, and welcome to Center Stage.
Good morning, Pam. Thank you for having me.
Is this like the first big maneuver you've made in 2018 going public?
Definitely. We're starting the year off well, being here on the radio. We ended 2017 on a high note with Venus Fly, and we've been getting really wonderful response to the show.
That's fantastic. So you're the curator of this. What was your inspiration for Venus Fly?
For the title or for the show concept?
Oh, the show, the title, the whole works.
Last year, I was curating the second show of our season called I've Lost Control Again. And it happens that that show was up over the election process, before and after Election Day. And it happened to be all male artists. And we had coincidentally started our season with a group show of all male artists. And the only solo show we had last season was also a guy. And although the Flynn Gallery has a wonderful history of showing many, many female artists, it just happens that while the national conversation was about misogyny and bad language, we happened to show guys. And after the campaign and all the negativity and the outcome, I felt very strongly that at the one-year mark of this presidency, we needed to have strong female-made art on the gallery walls, just as our little stand for women. The art itself is not political. The library, of course, does not take sides either way, but I felt very strongly that it would be a meaningful statement for us, and just to provide almost a safe space for people to come and enjoy art and have conversations around it. The title Venus Fly is actually from a song by Grimes, featuring Janelle Monáe, and it's interesting, when we were putting the show together, sometimes we have a working title, a title just to gather our thoughts around, and that was Glass Ceilings. And once we moved into a more abstract aspect for the actual art and artist, that was no longer the best title. And so Venus Fly happened to come up on my iPod and Shuffle one day, and I just thought, that's perfect. That's the title that we need to use.
That's fantastic. And for women, this couldn't be better.
No, absolutely not.
It's the goddess
says it
being
all.
Unleashed.
It is. Venus is all about women, and Fly, of course, is old slang for super cool. And this is very super cool art.
Is that really slang for super cool?
Yes. Do you remember the film Superfly?
Yeah.
1972.
Yeah, that's
best
cool, yeah.
Soundtrack ever by Curtis Mayfield.
Mayfield. That's right.
Yes.
I love it. Yeah, Superfly. Fabulous. So what has the response been to your show so far?
It has been overwhelmingly positive. The show itself is just really beautiful, very colorful. There's a lot of space in the gallery. I've taken the movable walls out. And so at this very dark time of our year, literally dark because of the short days, people are able to come into the gallery and it's like a breath of fresh air. People feel like they can breathe.
They're being lifted.
Being lifted up and happy. They're very pleased to see so much color in the gallery. And in the selections process, we do look at where we schedule our shows throughout the year and try and have something like
that's
that.
That's very important for us. And it's not just color on show here. It's also texture.
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. So as you mentioned, we have three different artists and working in different media. And I personally have always loved a lot of color and texture in art. One of the artists in particular, Becca Lowry, who does carved wood and mixed media weavings, her work is extremely textural. They're 3D. They hang on the wall, but they are almost like sculptures, but wall-based. And so there's just a lot of depth to her work. And then, of course, Lauren Mabry, who does ceramics, the majority of her work that we have are cylinders and sort of large-scale clay. They are technically vessels, but they should be considered sculptures. Mm-hmm. And then two pieces that are definitely more sculptural. One is a kind of a sliced half pipe, and one is a circle that you can physically walk around and look through. There are wonderful vistas in the gallery as you look through her sculpture to the other works on the wall.
So what is the importance of the vessel, let's say, in this artist's work?
Actually, she does not, Lauren Mabry does not really consider her work to be vessels. She accepts that people will see them that way, that ceramics are frequently seen, I don't want to say in a negative craft-oriented way because of the clay material, but anything that is made to hold something is considered a vessel, but they are not vessels. They're not bowls. She works on the inside and is glazing the inside because they are meant to be seen as opposed to be filled in.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. But when I start to see these circular kind of figures, especially with women, I see as kind of eternity or life, you know, ever present.
Mm-hmm.
Is this the message behind the art, do you think?
No, I don't. And in fact, Lauren, she's the youngest of the artists. I think she's about 32. And she said she has never been in a show of only female artists before.
Really?
And doesn't really think of herself working from a female perspective, although clearly she is a woman.
Tracy, do you know the numbers? Do we know the statistics Is it more women than men in the artistic world?
Absolutely. There are far more women who go to art school, who seek out degrees, and who work as professional artists. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if you're familiar with the Guerrilla Girls. They have been around for a few decades working on arts activism, and they will spout statistics from morning to night about how women are so underrepresented mm-hmm. in the arts mm-hmm. At a museum and gallery level.
Can you go on about the Guerrilla Girls? I've seen and read about them. They're wearing gorilla masks.
Yes,
actually.
They are. So that's they're spelled gorilla like the fighters, but mm-hmm. they wear gorilla masks. It's kind of a play on words. They actually came and spoke last year at the Bruce Museum, and the room was packed primarily with women in the arts from throughout the Fairfield Westchester region. Mm-hmm. And they have for a few decades been speaking about the underrepresentation of women in the arts, that they have a famous billboard with about, do you have to be naked to get into the Met as a woman? Mm-hmm. Because women are seen as subjects in paintings or sculptures, but as creators, they are underrepresented. Mm-hmm. And that's true primarily in museums, but also in commercial galleries.
Is that right?
Yes, absolutely. And it's interesting because a lot of dealers and are female.
I wasn't aware of this. This mm-hmm. is kind of interesting to me. I would have thought art as a business would be mostly male-dominated.
It has been, but there have been more women that have gone into it. And I think today we are seeing more women making a point of showing female artists.
We're seeing more women, period, in positions of strength.
Absolutely.
I just saw in the news this morning that the three major films of the year were all women dominated with strong characters, and in some cases, of course, women directors, which is very important.
And a new development, absolutely.
This is really exciting. I mean, you have children.
Yes.
Okay. Do you have girls?
I have both a son and a daughter.
And what are you imparting to your daughter right now with regard to her place in the world?
Well, I've been trying to raise both of my children equally mm-hmm. And to honor and respect themselves as individuals and to look out for their friends and to help each other up.
This is wonderful. Wonderful. And with art, Are you really introducing them to every aspect of art and sometimes the inequalities between men and women?
We haven't really spoken that much about the inequalities, but both of them were dragged along to museums and galleries and art events as small children. They're now 18 and 22.
Oh.
Yes. And they have seen far more art in their short lives than I would say most people do in a lifetime.
Isn't that wonderful?
It is good, although sometimes as a parent, you walk into a gallery and you say, well, maybe this was not the most appropriate choice for a six-year-old.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They've gotten over it.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Let's talk about you for a minute.
Sure.
What's your background?
I grew up in the Washington, D.C. area, mm-hmm. going to the Smithsonian and the Phillips Collection
Wonderful.
All the time. And I knew that at a certain point in high school, I really wanted to be in the arts. In my senior year, I started taking a lot of art classes to fill up my schedule. Mm-hmm. And then in my senior year, I was an intern at the Washington Project for the Arts, which was in one of the earlier nonprofit, like kind of alternative art spaces.
Mm-hmm.
And then after college, I went to work at the Phillips Collection and then the ICA in Boston. And I did development and special events.
Uh-huh. And your own art yourself?
I have not made art of my own since, the 80s.
So now you're just promoting others, and you're happy with that?
I love it. I love working with artists.
And when you were working as an artist, what was your medium?
Well, I never worked as an artist. I did art in school, and I took everything that my school offered. painting and mm-hmm. ceramics and printmaking. Once I was in college, I was not taking art classes.
Don't your little hands, creative hands, just want to go to some clay at some point?
I do occasionally miss clay. I did do a couple of little continuing ed clay classes when my husband was in business school, and I did some paper making, which is really fun and very immediately
paper
gratifying.
Making. Oh,
yes.
My.
But that, again, that's been a long time.
I remember the first time I took a sculpting class, and I'm famous in my family because I'm the singer. Everyone else is the visual artist. They're painters.
Mm-hmm.
And I can do stick people really well.
Right.
But I remember when I went to sculpting, and the teacher was wonderful because she said, just start to play with the clay, something will appear. And it did. And suddenly the face of a woman was just kind of looking at me, and I was astounded.
Uh-huh.
And this is what I find so wonderful about the arts and what worries me when it's not being supported in school right now. And I know that you're a spokesman for the Greenwich schools, aren't you?
Well, when my children were in school, I volunteered a lot, and mm-hmm. I was the arts and ed representative for their elementary school. They both went to New Lebanon, and I got very involved at that school looking for artists and writers in residence and setting up dance programs and just trying to make sure that the arts and sciences were really worked into the curriculum there from
That's
a PTA
tremendous.
Perspective.
That's tremendous. So how long have you been with the Flynn Gallery in Greenwich?
Oh, gosh. I started probably 2005 or 6.
Mm-hmm.
I had first gotten involved volunteering with the library at the Friends of the Byram Schubert. And then when my time there was up, I was invited over to join the Flynn. I had met people there through going to friends meetings, and they said, oh, we know you like art. Why don't you come join us? And it's been a perfect fit. I love
it sounds
working
like
with
it.
The committee and with the artists.
Mm-hmm. They're fortunate to have you.
I'm fortunate to have them, too.
So you talk about, you know, having meetings when you're establishing the upcoming season.
Yes.
You know, what inspires all of you when you sit down? You know, do you play with ideas? Do you have certain phrases that come to mind, as you mentioned before?
Yes, absolutely. So within the Flynn Gallery committee, which is almost 60 women, we have a subcommittee called Selections, and that varies between 12 and 14 of us. We meet monthly during the academic year, and we review artist submissions. We review show concepts. We have a lot of freeform conversations, and out of them come ideas for shows. And then we have homework. We have to go out and find artists to make up the shows.
I've met so many of your board members and your curators, and I love everyone at the Flynn.
Oh, thank you.
I think you are really extraordinary there. I think you bring something so fresh, and I think it's all volunteer, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Which is, you know, kind of incredible. But all of you bring such precious treasures to the table on offer. You know, the Greenwich, Connecticut is very lucky to have the Flynn. It really stands out as being quite individual.
I think you're right, and I thank you for your kind comments. I think each of us bring a very different individual perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, that's
and
important.
We bring, because there are so many of us, the gallery is really able to program 6 very different shows each season.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if one or two of us were directing everything, you know, the shows would look probably more uniform. And this way we're really able to serve the whole community and mm-hmm. hit different types of art throughout the season, which is nice. We're part of a larger community organization as not just a member, but as a viewer and as a Greenwich resident, I feel so fortunate to have both the gallery and the library as resources for
Absolutely.
The community.
And the support. I feel that the Flynn takes some risks, which I really enjoy.
As a nonprofit, we are able to do things that a commercial gallery could not.
Right.
And as a gallery that serves the whole town, we really can put ourselves out there. I think we bring art to Greenwich that no one else is bringing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's fantastic. You spoke earlier about this show, Venus Fly. You were utilizing the space in the gallery to its max. How important is that for inspiration for all of us, and particularly for your artists on show right now?
Well, the artists, Becca, Elise, and Lauren, are just thrilled with the way the show looks. Mm-hmm. I think that they are really, really pleased with how their work looks, both physically in the space and in conjunction with the other artists. So in terms of how we as curators look at the sort of physicality of the gallery, each curatorial team looks at it differently, and a lot of it is driven by the art. The last show we had of Art and Craft, there were 9 artists, a lot of very small pieces. It was a very difficult installation. They needed to use pretty much every pedestal we have and all of the walls. And I knew going into my show that I did not have those issues. And I really wanted to open up the space and have long vistas. And that's what we got.
That gives all of us a chance to breathe and really take this in.
Yes.
Doesn't it?
Yes.
I know Becca Lowry's, her wood sculptures, these wonderful shaped carvings. She actually says that these are modern interpretations of warrior shields, getting back to my introduction to all of you. The strength of women really comes through in this, doesn't it?
I think it does. Becca studied at Smith. She studied economics and African studies, and she did some development work after graduation. And I think in her art, you definitely feel a very special sense of strength. That comes out. She grew up, her father was a builder and her mother made jewelry. And so there's always been a building and creativity in her life.
Fabulous. You know, I recently interviewed Brian Catling, who is an immense artist in the UK. And we talked about the importance of being an outsider. Would you call these three women artists at the Flynn right now, would you call them outsiders?
I would not, because they've all been trained. So in the arts, there's a very specific term, outsider art, and those are people who work kind of outside the art worlds. They may not have gone to art school or work within a gallery setting, and these three do not fit that criteria. Elise and Lauren both have their MFAs, and all three of them have been showing extensively.
And I believe you have a rather special event coming up this Saturday, an artist talk.
Yes, at 2 p.m. we hope that all three artists will be with us at the Flynn Gallery. And I say hope just because you never know with the weather these days. But at 2 o'clock, they will each speak. They'll talk about their art. They'll talk about their studio practices. And there's always a question and answer session. And we get wonderful questions from our audience.
And you usually have a wonderful audience as well, don't you?
Yes, we do.
You have quite a following here. Tell me, Tracy McKenna, what art trends are you following right now?
In terms of what I think is
it's important out
bubbling.
There, where are we going?
Well, it's hard to say where we're going because there's so many different artists all working in their own path. It's not like looking back into art history and saying, oh, yes, that was the moment of Impressionism or Abstract Expressionism. At this time, people are doing their own thing. But there continues to be a lot of artists working in abstract, non-representational painting in particular. Ceramics and textile arts are having huge moments. There's a lot of people working with fiber. And it's interesting because it's, although fiber is frequently associated with women, there's actually a lot of men working around textiles right now. There's a lot of men sewing and quilting and working with weaving. And lately, we have been seeing sort of two trends in painting with representational work. One is kind of like a fairy tale, like weird, distorted fairy tale paintings that just keep popping up over and over and over again. Yes.
You think this is a political statement or a
sociological? Well, the second one has to do with surrealism. There's a lot of artists who surrealism has been out of fashion for a long time, and it's also coming back up. We've had a lot of artists submitting to us. It's not something that we're particularly interested in showing. A lot of it is kind of scary, and we have an all-ages crowd. But as we've been looking online and going to art fairs, both of those representational trends have been popping up a lot.
How interesting. And where do you think the Flynn is going? And what do we have on offer for the rest of the season?
Well, each show that we do is different. So we do not have one curatorial stance that we put forward. So there's no we're going in this one direction for next year. But our next show, and Venus Fly is up through January 24th, a week after that, we will open up a show of street art. And this is something that we have wanted to do for a while. Some of us are really interested in street art, and finding, you know, the right curator and the right artist just took a little bit of time. But Ruth Sutcliffe is working on that, and we're very excited.
How exciting. Did you get down to Art Basel in Miami at all?
No, I was here installing Venus Fly.
Of course you were.
I have put this on my calendar several years in a row and have not made it, but I have a lot of family. I'd like to go visit my cousins and see some art in the sun in December.
Okay, next year, next year.
Yeah.
You'll get that going for yourself. What do you think the biggest creative force is for you in this world?
Oh, I don't have any way of answering that. I'm not really sure where to start with that.
Do you have one word that sums you up, do you think? In your relationship to what you do and promoting art?
I think dedication.
That's fantastic. I think we're lucky to have you.
Oh, Pam, thank you.
So, Tracy McKenna, it has been lovely having you here. Venus Fly is such a beautiful name, and I love it that it is so uber cool.
Thank you.
When does the show end again? Just remind our listeners.
Venus Fly is up through January 24th.
Okay. We have some time, but don't delay, folks, because you have to see the power of women. This is very exciting. Tracy McKenna, thank you for being on our show this morning. I just want to say Happy New Year to everyone officially, and please come back next Tuesday for Center Stage with Pamela Kuhn, when we'll have Dimitri Wright, the artist, on. Another artist. There
Wonderful.
You go. So, anyway, all the best, and the curtain is now down.
So you thought getting a job when you were really young with no experience was tough. Try getting one when you know too much and you're old. And now the titans of technology are helping to discriminate. We'll discuss next on Dan's Life.
A great radio show may sound like it's easy to make, but if you've ever tried, you know that's not the case. With the time spent engineering, producing, and archiving, you end up losing focus on what really matters, the content of your show. If you put your show on the Gab Radio Network, you'll be able to leave all those technical worries to our staff of highly trained engineers and producers. And all you need to do is have fun and put on a great show. Want to find out more? Send